You may want to reach for your bulletin. I'd like for you to follow along for a moment or two here. We're going to take a look at a couple things in the second lesson for this morning. If you look at that first sentence, okay, it says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." There's three words that you could underline in that sentence: instruction, endurance, encouragement. All of those are about God's word. We often think of encouragement coming from just positive compliments. We think of endurance as something that we do. And we think of his instructions. Well, there's always bosses. And they're always telling you what to do. But this is even better than that. There are three things about hope that makes it solid, dependable, certain, and true. And Paul identifies these three in a brushstroke as God gives him these words to pen. The first thing I want you to note is that the word endurance in some translations is called perseverance. Literally, the word means remaining under. Now, why would that be important? Well, it was raining a little while ago. I can't tell if it's still pouring. Okay, if you have an umbrella, but the umbrella is being held out over here, what benefit are you getting? The answer is zero. Okay? Now, it's great if you got grandma under there and you're doing it for her and you're willing to take the rain. That's a nice thing, okay? But if we're talking about one's personal walk, remaining under is about remaining in the Word. It's about being under God's grace. And about recognizing that it is in Christ that we have hope. And if we step outside of that in Christ, it's not going to do us any good. Because hope comes from God's instruction. Now, the word instruction, you could say the whole word of God, Old and New Testament combined. And God tells us this is the way of salvation. God tells us, this is my plan for you. God says, this is what I have prepared for you. God says, this is how are you to live. God says, all these things he unfolds for us in his word. And that's the instruction that he gives. And then the word encouragement is about how that word of God lifts us up. You know, some of you are optimists and some of you are not. Now, I won't name names, I've got them all in front of me and I can go through the whole membership list. Now, but what happens is that sometimes we think that's the determining factor of whether I have hope. And that's not true. According to human thinking, yes, our psychiatric stuff, they think that's everything. But I think faith is everything. What do you think? It is faith in Christ that is God's gift to us that changes how we think and what we think. And it guides us what to think as we surrender and follow God's word. So the word of encouragement isn't, well, if I name it, I claim it, or the power of positive thinking, or I'm just going to think about this stuff. No, it's what God says. Because, you know, it could be raining outside, and if I hypnotize you and I get you, it's not raining. You won't need an umbrella. And I send you outside, you're still going to get wet. You see, the truth and the certainty of God's word is the best encouragement ever. And the message of the gospel is that God sent his son to die for you. And that Jesus Christ did suffer in our place. And his victory over the devil and death is absolutely certain. And that gospel that as Christ has risen, we have new life in him. Whether I'm sick or whether I'm young or old or aches and pains or whatever I am, that gospel is still, as Luther would have said, most certainly true. That gospel is real. Now, for Paul, in the day that he was penning this, as God gave him the very word, there were things that were taking the hope away. And in that time, in the early church, and this is a letter to the Romans, that the problems were manifold, and some of them were cultural clashes. There were the Gentiles, and there were the Jews. And as they come to believe in Christ, they wanted to do expressions of that faith differently. And the Jews didn't like the Gentile way, and the Gentile way didn't like the Jews. Then there were differing opinions among the Jews that became believers. Imagine that. I know all Lutherans are perfectly agreeable, right? We don't have any conflict. So maybe it's hard for us to imagine, but it's true. They had many opinions, many perspectives, and differing opinions, and that brought conflict as well. So God guided Paul to write, as these conflicts and the persecution that was beginning to unfold seemed to start to snuff out their hope like blowing out a candle, what would replace the hope? One, it was not going to be superficial unity. A unity based just on agreement of practice or agreement of style. But what was going to replace the hope was the truth of God's word. That was going to sustain, create, and maintain the hope that we have in Christ. And that's why you have the words, the days, you know, former days was written for our instruction. The very word of God is the foundation for our hope. And then that same word of God in which we dwell under and live in and through, that's the endurance. And then that same word of hope, that same message of the scriptures is our encouragement. And then Paul even printed it for us. This is the encouragement of the scriptures that we might have hope. May the God of endurance and the God of encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. And that's significant because Jesus, as you know, is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the Word made flesh, and we use the word incarnate. You know, Jesus is God's Word on earth, real and tangible. And so what happened for the people at Romans was their hope was maybe looking to a mighty nation, maybe to looking political freedom, maybe looking to an agreeable or a pleasant style of cultural worship. Their hope could have been any number of things, but the world around them was bombarding them, and their hope started to fade. And if we think about it, the world hasn't changed, has it? There is religious persecution in our very nation. It's not easy being a Christian trying to say, I believe what God's word says, and this is most certainly true. And even within the what's called Christianity, the fractions and the divisions, they hurt. It's not easy. And even within families, sometimes that permeates. What God's word comes back and says is that our hope is not in the externals of things, but our hope is based on what Christ has done for us. And then what he accomplishes through us. So for you and I, the bad days and the good days, they aren't hopeless because we still have the Lord. Whether we're facing surgery or we've got the intestinal flu for the fourth day in a row, you know, all of us have this hope that is real and maintained by the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word. And Paul was encouraging the believers to stay in that Word. Why? Because it makes a difference for the hope that they would hold on to. If you don't stay in the Word, it's like if this is the gospel of hope, you know, and you grab another candle, it actually has no light. And it has no power. In fact, later on in scriptures, it says you have no gospel at all if Jesus isn't the Lord and Savior. It becomes powerful for us. And the temptation is to try to find reasons for hope in the things that we think are tangible or real or, you know, very comforting and satisfying. I mean, think about Christmas music. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, and I like snow. I know some of you don't want snow. I'm okay with that, okay? Maybe it'll be on my side of town. I don't know, okay? But, you know, and people would say, well, it's just not the same without a white Christmas. And I have news for you. Christmas is the same, snow or not. Is Christ born? Yes. You know, is he reigning today? Yes. It's not a hard thing, is it? But when we start placing our hopes, and that feeds our joys, our reasons for joys, then we run into problems. Many family members will not be able to get there and be with one another this year. Some because of the airlines gets bogged down. An airport will be closed. You'll have snow impacting highways and everything else. All the normal list of human travesty goes on. Some, like in the Gatlinburg area, there is no home to gather in where they might have gathered last Christmas because it now got burned down. And the question is there hope gone? And the answer is, it shouldn't be. But when our focus is no longer on the Word, when I'm no longer remaining under the gospel, law, the truth of God's scriptures, you know, when I'm trying to live outside of that because I find some comfort and some peace and joy over here, and I got a little bit of a protection here because I'm still a believer, but the more I place myself outside of that umbrella of God's grace, the more my hope fades or wavers. It's sort of like the yo-yo. Good one day and down the next. So this Christmas season, where's your hope? Is it in your Christmas list? You know, please don't give it to me. I won't, you know, can't help you, you know. Is it, you know, and on, you know, where's your hope? And what God's word offers you, the hope is in the promise fulfilled, it's in Jesus. And Christ was born in the city of David, and Christ lived, and Christ suffered, and Christ died, and Christ rose. In all of that, that's our hope, and Christ reigns. And we have hope yet unfulfilled, Christ is going to come again to bring us to be where he is. That's a pretty good hope, isn't it? And with all the things of this world that can come and go and fade and change with the weather, I love the way the Bible says the word of the Lord remains forever. That means my hope, your hope, remains forever in Jesus. Amen.